Hey, it's Luke. How much will the week off benefit the Phoenix Suns heading into their first round matchup against the Timberwolves? We get going tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports. Howlin' for You by the Black Keys.
Song that's played for years and years and years when the Coyotes scored a goal.
Yeah.
As tonight's the last night, Gambo with the breaking news about 15 minutes ago that the deal is done. Board of Governors expected to approve tomorrow. All the I's have been dotted, all the T's have been crossed, and the sale has gone through of Alex Morello and the Coyotes to Ryan Smith in Salt Lake City. We'll talk more about the Coyotes coming up in the next segment, because obviously tonight, today, very emotional day for the hardcore hockey fans. A weird day all around, just to know that tonight is it, you know, and certainly it's going to be a sight. We were seeing something on Twitter about how there are like 80 credentialed media for tonight's game, and there's going to be a bunch of people in attendance. And of course, just the mood and the vibe of the building will be something I'll be very interested to see, you know, what it's like and how it's described the next day. So there's that, and we'll talk about that over the last hour of our show or so. But there's some business to handle in the NBA last night as well, and that business starts with Darvin Ham, the coach of the Lakers, who said, wait, Mike Greenberg said we should lose to avoid the Denver. He said what?
That was a report of what?
It wasn't, it was TV talking stuff. Was that maybe
saying what again?
It'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid Denver.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah.
It wasn't sourced.
Okay.
It was just chatter.
Someone that just got out of the insane asylum. Okay. I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, roll the dice.
Just release these people.
They were never going to do it, obviously. And clearly, the way they played last night, they weren't ducking nobody.
No. And it was probably Mike Greenberg. We played his comment yesterday, and it might have been one of the dumbest things I've heard all year. Lose the game on purpose. Take a chance of a one-game elimination and then having to play again on Friday before you play on Sunday. It was just really dumb to think that a team would do that. They were going to win that basketball game. That was a hell of a game. Now, the Sacramento-Golden State game was terrible. The last 5 minutes of the Pelicans-Lakers was just exhilarating. It was incredible. And Zion was single-handed. I don't want to say single-handedly because Alvarado was on fire, too.
Yeah, but
those two, the combination of those two, single-handedly gave them a chance to win the game. And then Zion scored a basket to tie it. And when he landed wrong. And you could see him grimacing. Had to come out of the game, Bernsey, with about a little bit over three minutes left. Did not come back.
Well, we got an update on that. And it's not good. Good from the New Orleans perspective. Zion Williamson has been diagnosed with a left hamstring strain for the Pelicans. He will be reevaluated in approximately 2 weeks. That means the Pelicans will have to try to save their season without him Friday versus Sacramento. CJ McCollum wasn't very good last night. Brandon Ingram wasn't very good last night.
Alvarado
was good. Zion was great. He was given the fact that that was his first ever game outside of an 82-game regular season. They don't count it as a playoff game, but it wasn't a regular season game either. He performed exceptional. And had he stayed in that game, we might be talking about something totally different.
Probably
right
would be. They couldn't stop him.
Yeah,
they couldn't stop him.
Couldn't stop him at all. He was an absolute, although, man, I give it up to LeBron James. How many different charges did he take from Zion Williamson in that game? I count at least two where he stood in there like a tackling dummy, like a blocking sled, and just absorbed the full weight of Zion Williamson onto the basket.
How about
coming at him? It was impressive.
How about D'Lo?
Yeah, he hit the big three.
How about D'Lo? That corner three with 50 seconds left, put him up by four, and then that was the game. From there, it was just free throws. Like CJ McCollum scored, but then it was through free throws by AD, and then two free throws by Reeves, and then two free throws again by AD. They didn't miss any of their free throws down the stretch, and they weren't able to overcome it. So a rematch of the Western Conference Finals awaits.
Yeah, it does. And you know, LeBron James afterwards said all the right thing about the Denver Nuggets. Obviously, They weren't trying to avoid him. They're going to lean into it. They're going to play him. I would think it would be a better series this year. Maybe I'm wrong. I would think it'd be a better series this year because the Lakers were very likely tired at the end of that grind last year when they played Denver. Maybe I don't think anyone thinks the Lakers are going to win or beat Denver, but maybe they give them a better series. So you ask yourself, okay, what does this mean for the Suns? And I think the clear takeaway of what this does mean for the Suns doesn't, I mean, other than knowing if you beat Minnesota, you will get the winner of this series next. Okay, that's the first thing it means for the Suns. The second thing it means for the Suns, we kind of used last night's game as a litmus test to see whether regular season dominance carried over into the postseason. We're kind of banking on that a little when it comes to the Suns and the Timberwolves. Last night it did. It was a close game, but the Lakers had basically owned the Pelicans this year.
And it was a lot tougher.
But it was a lot tougher last night. It wasn't easy.
Yeah. I mean, if Zion doesn't get hurt, maybe New Orleans wins the game. Now they go play Denver. They've lost all three to Denver this year. They've lost all three. Three times they lost to them. So we'll see. But yeah, that was a hell of a basketball game. And New Orleans just wasn't able to get over the hump. Give a lot of credit to the Lakers. They made all the big plays. Anthony Davis with that great rebound, and then he got fouled and hit the two free throws. They made the plays at the end of the game that they had to make, and New Orleans was making them too. It wasn't like New Orleans wasn't making plays, but then again, you know, like the biggest difference in the game was the three. Without the three by D'Lo, everything else was a two. Everybody else was scoring just regular field goals, not threes inside the final 5 minutes. That was the one that made it a two-score game, and New Orleans was never able to overcome that.
Yeah, James Jones was a guest this morning on the Bickley and Murata show, and, you know, as they get ready for their matchup against the team that they dominated during the regular season, certainly their defense and the way they defended against Minnesota is something that really comes into play here.
Grayson's play, Nurk's play. I mean, he's been so underrated this year as an interior presence, as a rebounder. And then the addition of Royce O'Neal, it gives us three really good defensive-minded players to support our offensive players. And so I think our defense is primed to continue this momentum that we've built, especially because the teams that we're playing are teams we're extremely familiar with, and they want to play a physical style of basketball. And now we have the option to do that as well.
There's no doubt that the series against Minnesota is going to be tougher than it was during the regular season. And I don't think we needed last night's Lakers-Pelicans game to kind of show us that. But it was really obvious there was just something else on the line between those teams last night. You got a different version of those
two
teams.
Don't think the Suns are going to get up by 15 in the first quarter?
I don't think that's going to happen against the, if it does, I'll be shocked. I think this series is going to be... I'm still picking the Suns to win. I haven't written my prediction yet for ArizonaSports.com, but I'm probably going to pick Suns in six, I think, is what I'm going to go with.
I almost went five, but I think that that's an overconfidence.
Yeah, that's too rich for my blood.
So
I went
Suns split in Minnesota, win both at home. They're up 3-1. And then I thought, man, did I just get the kill in Minnesota, make it a short series? But I gave Minnesota that game, and then the Suns win it at home in game six.
I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to make it a lot tougher on the Suns than the regular season matchups give us a right to believe.
Well, if they don't.
I think there's,
you know, that says a lot about them.
There's just too much talent on that team, but there's also a history of that organization and their inability to advance that I think has to take into account there. Legendary comedian Kevin Hart is headed to Arizona Financial Theater on October 11th.
He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can win a pair now by visiting the contest page at ArizonaSports.com. Tonight, for the final time for now, an NHL game will be played in Arizona. How is tonight going to go? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Coyotes versus Oilers, pregame at 6:30 tonight on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this time.
We're starting to see pictures from inside Mullet Arena. White t-shirts on all the seats. It's going to be a whiteout tonight. And these are our listener-approved songs that we're playing coming in out of every break. This one is unfortunately titled Good Riddance by Green Day, but the alternate title is The Time of Your Life.
Hope you had the time of your life.
So it might not be the most
28 years. A lot of great memories.
Yeah.
A lot of great memories.
I got a few of them here. You want to hear some of these?
Yeah.
This is great. How about the Shane Doan hat trick from January 7th, 2012?
Whitney over the line. Drops it. Doan takes a shot.
He did it.
Exhausted at the end of the game. You remember how tired he was at the end of that game?
He was never anywhere near the best player they ever had, but he meant so much to the fan base here because he was loyal and he never left, and he could have left so many times. He wasn't, you know, obviously as good as Keith or JR or Tepo or some of those other players, but he was a really good player and he meant a lot to the fan base here because he was so loyal to staying here and staying a part of the community and staying a part of the team.
How about Hansel's game-winning overtime
Martin
goal
Hansel
against Chicago?
Gets in at the right point by Aquino. He fires his score! It's Martin Hansel at the top of the crease deflecting that shot in behind Corey Crawford. And the Coyotes win game one in overtime. 3-2, the final score.
He was a good player. He was always hurt, but he was a good, talented player, just had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, that was the Western Conference Finals back in 2012.
Mike Smith stood on his head.
Series that, yeah, Mike, he stood on his...
Speaking
of Mike Smith, we pulled this one from the archives. 0.01 seconds left. You remember this one?
6 seconds left. Samuelson the shot. City by Smith. He tries for the empty net. Sends it right down the middle. He scores! At the horn, Mike Smith has scored!
I remember it well. You know, back in the day, we would go on the road with the teams, me and Ash would, when they played in Colorado against the Avalanche in the playoffs, we went. When they played the Ducks, we went. We'd go on the road with the team when they were playing in playoff games.
Yeah, and yeah. It's been a while. And that's... Look, there are a lot of reasons why and how and what went down.
Can I share a memory with you?
Yeah, sure, please.
I'm going to share two memories with you, and people may like this. So I was playing in an adult men's hockey league, and Jeremy Roenick was just kind of getting bored of playing hockey, wasn't having any fun, and we would have a lot of conversations every night, me and Jeremy Roenick, about sticking with it and hitting that milestone of 500, but he was kind of worn out and he wasn't having fun. So he calls me up one day and he goes, "Hey, can I come play with you?" He goes, "You have a game tomorrow." I go, "Yeah, I got a game tomorrow." He goes, "Can I play with you? Is there a way I could play on your team?" Adult men's hockey league. So I call the commissioner. I say, "Listen, I'm going to forfeit the game. I got a ringer." He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "I have a ringer. We're going to play, but I'm going to forfeit the game." Jeremy Roenick shows up, plays the entire game with me. In an adult men's hockey league, I had Jeremy Roenick on my team, and it was just so much fun. And I'll give you one more. We had our old station, we had a hockey team. And so we put together a bunch of players, and we ended up playing the ASU She Devils.
Okay.
It was a female hockey team out of ASU, the She Devils. And honorary captains were Tockett, Keith Tkachuk, and Jeremy Roenick, and Dally Drake, right? And we're beating them. First period, second period, we're beating them. I had the Gordie Howe hat trick. I fought this girl and I actually won. I'm teasing, but I did have a Gordie Howe hat trick. It was just all in fun. But we were winning by like 3 or 4 goals. We were winning. They were good, but we were winning. All of a sudden, between the second and third periods, they come out with a lineup. The girls came out with a lineup. Keith Tkachuk, Jeremy Roenick, Dally Drake. I'm like, you seriously? Like, come on. So they put their skates on, and they came out, and they played for the ASU She Devils.
Yeah. And they won, I assume?
He's a zany sport. I'm like, what the hell are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do? Jeremy Roenick took a shot from, like center ice.
Yeah.
Our goalie reacted after it was already in the net. His arm went up after it was in the net. Like, it was like a 7-second delay on the shot. It was fun. It was fun.
Unfortunately, I'm speaking in generalities here. Unfortunately, I think if you talk to a lot of people and you ask them what were their favorite Coyote memories, and I think this is kind of part of the problem, is that most of our great memories are going to come from the early days.
are going to come
from the Keith Tkachuk, Jeremy Roenick,
Seppo
Niemenen, Dally Drake.
Because that's when they were good. They weren't good after that.
Because that's when it was whiteouts, and that's when it was downtown Phoenix, and that's when it was playoffs. And this is nothing against Shane Doan, and this is nothing against Dave Tippett, and this is nothing against guys who were good or did good jobs in the years after that. But with the lack of any real kind of sustained success, and certainly I played that highlight from the Blackhawks quarterfinals back in 2012. That was the one standout year. And I remember that was one of the first years you and I did the show together. And that was an incredible season of Coyotes hockey. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
To talk about them every day, to experience that every single day. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, in the postseason like NHL Stanley Cup playoffs when it comes to drama. It will stop your heart, figuratively, the end of these games, holding on for a win or trying to get back in it. And that was ultimately the problem, is that for the last 20 years, we haven't had a chance to make a lot of great memories with this organization, because a lot of these memories are about playoff hockey and about being good, about having stars. And there was never enough of that over the last 20 years.
With Keith Tkachuk and Roenick and Dally, we're talking about a team that was in the playoffs in 96, in 97, in 98, in 99, in 2001. All their playoffs were there. Like, if you don't count the pandemic year, the last time they made the playoffs was that year in 2011, 2012. So, like, how do you go 12 years and, like, everybody makes the playoffs in hockey? How do you not make the playoffs?
Right.
And they just didn't have any. All the success was earlier, 100% right.
Now, is that the reason why everything has transpired and they're where they're at today? It certainly didn't help. You know, their quest for an arena, their quest to find a home, their quest to win a vote, their quest to win over a politician. It doesn't help that the lack of any kind of I'm looking at their franchise encyclopedia right now, man. It is barren. It is barren over the last 20 years. And that, in part, led to the lack of a real urgency by this marketplace, be it the politicians or the developers or whomever, to give them the arena that they want. And that's kind of what led. So that's, I think of my favorite memories of the Coyotes. I think of those whiteouts. I think of, honestly, and I shared this with our video team because we did a video, each of us talking about our favorite memories. One of my favorite memories of the Coyotes was when they first announced they were moving here. They took the Stanley Cup and they put it in the middle of the ice at America West Arena. And they just had an open skate. And my wife and I went down to America West Arena, put on ice skates, and just skated around the Stanley Cup for about an hour. And I knew nothing about hockey. I was a born,
you can skate?
Born, yeah, of course, I can skate. Wow. I learned how to ice skate for a date in junior high school.
Look at
and
you.
I can't skate well enough to go play hockey, but I can skate. So my wife and I just kind of holding hands, skating around the Stanley Cup, and I thought, this is so cool. We've got a hockey team.
They had stars in the 90s.
Yeah,
stars.
But that's the problem. All of our really fond memories of this team are 25 years old.
100%. I totally agree with you.
25 years old.
Because they were good. They made the playoffs every year. They had star players. Tkachuk was one of the best players in the game. Roenick was one of the best players in the game. Danny Briere. Hobby Boland, Teppo Niemenen, like, they were good.
How do you think tonight's going to go? Not win and loss, just how's, what's tonight going to be like? What's going to be like if you're in that room, in that arena?
Cheers
watching that
and
game?
Tears.
Okay.
Cheers and tears. It'll be a raucous crowd that is louder than at any game that they've ever had at Mullet. They're going to appreciate those players. Those players are going to be hyped. They're going to go out and they're going to kick Edmonton's ass. They are. They're going to win this game. I guarantee you they're going to win the game. And then when the game is over, there's going to be a lot of tears shed. I shared a video earlier of when the Winnipeg Jets had their last game and their final farewell when they left Winnipeg to come to Arizona. I don't know if there's anything special planned from the Coyotes with this. I would hope the players stick around after the game and give a tribute to the fans. I would hope the players take off their skates and go into the stands and spend some time with the fans and, you know, thank them for their support and say goodbye. Cheers and tears tonight. Cheers and tears.
Shane Doan, I'll play this one before we send it to a break. He was on with Bickley and Murata today.
You know what? It's they're obviously sad. Like, there's no way around that. You're sad. There's a element that that's just kind of the way it is. And I think whenever you have something that you really love and care about, and it's gone, and you kind of grieve, and I think you go through a whole bunch of emotions, and ranging from all different kind of factors, from, you know, you remember all the good things and the great things, and then you're sad and you're mad, and probably come back to some of the great things. And I think today's kind of a day that I'm just thinking about all how good it was, and how many, all the relationships and all the people. And it's a day that I, you know, I'm grateful that the organization was here for 27, 28 years or whatever it was, if it is moved, and then you deal with that after.
I feel bad for him because he loses his identity as the team. Like, if you played your whole career for the Montreal Expos and they're not in existence anymore, that's really hard. Like, Tkachuk played for the Blues. Roenick played for Chicago and Philly. Dally Drake won a Stanley Cup with Detroit. Doan doesn't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes it tough for him too, because his son is now going to be playing in Salt Lake City and not in his own backyard and not for his home city, which makes it even tougher too. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, earlier today, the Arizona Diamondbacks once again showed off an early season trend, one that nobody, and I mean nobody, is happy about. And that's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Vince Murata. Join us on Thursday morning. We'll reflect on the Coyotes' last game in the desert, among other things. It's Bickley and Murata Morning, starting at 6 here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Again, another suggestion from one of our listeners. Ozzy Osbourne's Bark at the Moon for the Coyotes in their final game tonight. I love it. We've had some Green Day, some Ozzy, some Supertramp, some Shania Twain, Black Keys.
No Peter, Paul, and Mary leaving on a jet plane.
No, we haven't had that, no. You should have tweeted in. We might have had it if you just tweeted in.
You feel it in some ways like I do, like the reality's finally hitting?
No,
the finalization, like it's finally here?
Because this is... No. No, because I feel like I reached that moment days ago. Like, this is... You know, it's not, there was no suspense in this. We all knew this was what was coming, you know, based off of your reporting for the last week. There was no like drama as to whether tonight was going to be it or not. It, to me, there's not that, wow, man, it snuck up on me. You've been busy like working this from the news side and trying to break the information. This has been known that this was how this was going to go down for about a week, you know? So for
April
me,
5th, we reported this. So what's today? So 12 days ago, we reported that this is what was going to happen.
Yep. So for me, it's more like I want to see it and experience it and just kind of see what it feels like and how it goes in the building and how the fans treat it and just how the, like tomorrow, I'm sure that's going to be one of our top stories. Just like, what was it like inside that building? How did it go? How did it feel to watch it and experience it? So yeah, no, I've long since come to terms that this was going to be it and it was going to be over. Cause you know, again, from the reporting that was out there from you and others, this was where it was headed. Today, earlier here on Arizona Sports,
here's the 1-0. Swinging a ground ball to first, should end it. Bush gloves, goes to the bag himself, and the Cubs take the series finale by a final score of 5-3.
You asked for the stat. You got the stat from AZ D-back Stats and Info. The Arizona Diamondbacks, in their first 19 games last year, committed 6 errors. 6 errors, 19 games last year. This year, 19 games, 15 errors. They were on pace. They committed 56 errors as a team last year. They're on pace for about 128 this year. It's been shocking. And today they were throwing the ball all over the yard. Eugenio Suarez had two. Lourdes Gurriel had another. A couple times we've seen almost, I hate to say this, but almost like a clown show in terms of just throwing the ball to spots where no one's standing.
Give me the numbers again. Give me the numbers again.
6 errors over their first 19 games last year.
Right.
15 errors over their first 19 games this
year. Plus 9 errors. Plus 9. This is not Diamondback baseball. This is not the way Torey Lovullo wants his team to play. Now, they are without their shortstop. They are without their center fielder. They've had, you know, injuries galore that they've had to deal with, and it's led to an abundance of errors. It's hard to watch sometimes because we're very accustomed to this team, the way they built this team, being great defensively, not beating themselves. And what we're seeing is we're seeing a team that when they lose games, we could say that they beat themselves, whether it's the defense or the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, 2 days ago after they lost the opener to the Cubs, and they dropped the series, by the way, to the Cubs after last night's extraordinarily entertaining back and forth game, which was just kind of crazy unto itself.
Was it entertaining? Was it? Like, let's just ask ourselves, was that entertaining baseball?
Lauren, I mean, honestly, you won the series for goodness sakes. We just enjoy what you've
Craig
been given.
Counsel.
Enjoy what you've been given. Your team won the series. Just live with it, right? Come on.
Yes. You got to see your team win a World Series in your lifetime.
I did, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
That's pretty good.
That's the only championship from any of my sports teams I've ever seen.
That's it.
Lauren's like you. She's a little greedy. She wanted the sweep. She you know, she was not entertained by what happened last night.
We were one out away from the sweep.
And then Ketel Marte hit a home run that I don't think went 5 feet off the ground.
It was the angel in the outfield.
Yeah, it really was the angel in the outfield.
It was a line drive that you thought the center fielder was going to catch, and it just didn't come down. Yeah. It just did not come down.
I had said 2 nights ago after the first game against the Cubs that it seemed like the defining trait of this year's Diamondbacks is their inability to hit late in games like that. That was the thing that's really haunting them. Now I almost feel like I want to change my tune. Now it's like the thing that's haunting them is the defense and how un-Diamondback that's like.
Right.
Torey Lovullo after the game.
We just didn't execute in a couple very critical areas. Defensively, you saw there were some miscues. We had some opportunities offensively. We just couldn't cash in, get a big hit, or situationally get it done. And it's frustrating. You know, you want to win every home series. That's my mindset. Every time we come into this house, we got to protect it. And you don't like to lose home series. We did. So it's part of the game. These guys fought hard. It was a day game. It was a quick turnaround after late night last night. I think everybody was a little bit tired. Both clubs look a little bit tired, but we didn't get it done. So we got to find a way to regroup the troops and go back up to San Francisco and play a good game tomorrow.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez, and this is according to Teo Mackey from AZ Central, on his defensive miscues today. Quote, "Today I didn't help my teammates. I didn't help the pitchers in my team, and I'm very sad. I feel bad. I feel angry. I promise you guys that's not going to happen again."
No good vibes today.
Apparently not.
No,
not from Eugenio. No.
He's a very good defensive player, and I've been very impressed with his arm, the power in his arm, and he starts double plays really well. And, there was that ball in the, let me just see if I go back to my notes, because I was at the game for a little while today before I had to come in here. But, he just dropped one. It was the top of the fifth, and Horner, who had a good series, just rolled one down the third base line, and he just kind of dropped the ball, and that led to Toshman then hit an RBI double off the wall to make a 1-1, Gomes single to make a 2-1. So that opened the floodgates for them to get those two runs in the fifth inning.
One last note from today's game, which dropped the Diamondbacks to 9-10 on the season as they open up. I think it's a 10-game road trip starting with San Francisco. Two other notes. Number one, confirmed Jordan Montgomery's going to start on Friday, so he'll make his Diamondback debut Friday afternoon against the Giants. And speaking of starting pitching, number two, Brandon Pfaadt, 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts. He was very, very good
today.
He was very good.
Yeah, he had a real solid game. You just tell that fastball had a lot of pop in it, and it was good to see him bounce back and have a nice outing.
Unless you're Lauren, in which you don't think that Brandon Pfaadt had a very, very good game, because I'm sure she doesn't think that.
How long have you lived here?
You know, basically my whole life.
Okay, but
25 years.
Okay. Are the D-backs your second favorite team?
The D-backs are my favorite Arizona sports team by a landslide.
Okay. All right.
If they're not playing the Cubs, I actively root for them.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
You're allowed to keep working on the show, is what Gambo's saying. You're allowed to maintain your post. Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line.
No, it would suck if you moved here and you know, okay, you have your favorite team from a child growing up, but then you don't even take this team as your second favorite team. Like, that would really suck.
Oh, I... Yeah, but that's not...
Like, Mitch, do you root for the Suns at all? If they're not playing the Nuggets?
He says so-so. Or if they're not playing the Nuggets,
do you want them to win? Okay.
When I moved to Seattle?
Yeah.
The hell I was going to root for the Sonics.
You were there for a song and a dance.
Yes, but I was going to root for them.
But you didn't have any... You weren't invested in the community at all. What if you would have stayed there for 7 or 8 years?
If I stayed there for 7 or 8 years and I was still a Suns fan, they were rivals. I don't think I could have rooted for them. They were sworn enemies at the time. This is back in the early 90s. I couldn't root for the Sonics. Never. 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 I maintain my allegiance to the Suns if I had moved up there. When we come back after you text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Our final thoughts ahead of the final Coyotes game. It's so weird to say it. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what's on tonight? The games that we are going to watch this evening, and it's brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today at globalcu.org. Of course, Coyotes hockey, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Other games to watch tonight in the NBA. We now turn our attention to the Eastern Conference play-in.
Ooh,
Miami is beating Philly 59-48 with about 7 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Because of course they are.
Because of course they are. Because they're Miami. Miami's like...
Yes, they just wait until the playoffs.
Seriously, they're like that. They're like Michigan State in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Every year come the tournament, they're going to win. They're going to win a game or two. They're going to win a series or two. Why? They've got the best coach in the NBA. They're disciplined. They all buy in. They have a culture there. Blah, 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 blah. And every year it works. It's like no matter how mediocre they are during the regular season, they're going to be good during the playoffs. Anyway, the winner of that series advances. The winner of that game advances. The loser of that game will take on the winner of, I'm just going to say it, the most uninteresting play-in game in the history of the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks versus the Chicago Bulls.
Trae Young. DeMar DeRozan.
I'm sorry. I don't mean... Sorry, Bulls fans. Sorry, he's an Hawks fan. I just... Yeah.
That's not Dominique Wilkins against Michael Jordan.
Like, last night was the Sacramento Kings against the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 36-win Atlanta team against a 39-win Chicago Bulls team. Blech. Blech.
I know. The East, the bottom of the East was not very good.
No, it was not. But that's what's on tonight if you're into that story. But I really sold it, didn't I? I really sold it.
Because they're not covering the game.
Watch that game tonight.
There's only one thing to watch tonight.
The Coyotes taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. The game starts at 7 o'clock. We'll have it here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Man, it'll be fun.
In four hours, professional hockey in this town will be officially over.
It will.
There will not be another game played. For how long, I don't know. But in 4 hours... professional hockey will come to an end in the state.
Yep.
And it's sad.
It is. It is. The question, is it coming back? That is the question.
We won't know
for a while.
No, but there is one indication that there's a chance, and that will be if Alex Morello wins the bid on the land on June 27th. If he doesn't win the bid and somebody else does, well, then I think it's done and over. If he loses the bid,
that's it.
If he wins the bid, well, then there's still a chance. But I will tell you that I know for certain that they cannot build this arena without help from the city of Phoenix. They need help from the city of Phoenix to be able to get that done.
And anybody who's even remotely aware of this saga over the last decade and a half knows that every time the Coyotes need help from a government entity to get something done, it usually doesn't go their way. Like, if we're, and I'm not trying to throw cold water on this, even though I am, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but if we're going to play that game again, hey, do you think you can help us out with this? Do you think you can throw us a tax break with that? Do you think you can create some special financing district for us with this? The minute the story transitions to that, that's where things get gummed up. That's where things have always gotten gummed up for the Coyotes. Hey, Tempe, we're going to build an arena on a landfill, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to, from trash to treasure, or whatever it is that Javier would say every time he was on with us talking about it. Just one problem. The voters of Tempe had to approve it, and they overwhelmingly shot it down. And so even if Alex Morello wins the land bid, there are so many other things that have to happen. I'm skeptical, Gambo, and not because I'm skeptical of Morello or because I'm angry at Morello or anything like that. I just think there's too much that needs to be done, and the history of this organization says it's not going to get done.
My concern would be that the reputation could come into play here. The reputation of Alex and being able to work with him, will they want to work with him? And if they do, great, and you get an arena built, then you'll have an expansion team, and they'll trigger an expansion draft, and it'll be back in here in no time.
Yeah, but that's for another day. Tonight, it's going to be about this organization that has been a part of our community for 27 years, has been a part of the fabric of what we've done here at Arizona Sports for 27 years. It is very strange to process. You asked me earlier if, like, emotionally it was hitting me. It kind of hit me emotionally a few days ago. But understand this. I'm not the same level of hockey fan that you are. I'm not the same level of hockey fan that many out in our audience are. So for me, it's going to hit me a little differently anyway. But I do feel for the players, and I feel for the Todd Walshes of the world and the Bob Heathouses of the world, right? And the Luke Lipinskis of the world, those who love this hockey team, fans out there who love this hockey team. I get it. It's going to be a rough, rough night for all of those folks, and I do feel for them. I feel for you because I know how much hockey means to you, too.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. I feel for everybody that you just mentioned. It's going to be very, very difficult. Hopefully they'll celebrate something though tonight too. So think about the good times, not just the bad times.
One more song recommended by one of our listeners out there. That's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We'll send you out with a little closing time from Semisonic. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone. Take me home.